T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on!
Oh, yes, it is the morning show, the pregame show in the morning, 5 a.m. Stephen Lakeford with you up until 6 o'clock. Whitey Lowe and Dibs will be taking over from there. We got a lot on the show today. It was just a good day in sports. If you're in the Bay Area, you had the Giants win, you had the A's win, you had the Lakers lose to the Thunder, even though the Lakers clinched the first seed, and it really doesn't matter. But still a pretty good day overall if you're a Bay Area sports fan. And again, it is just great to have sports back into our lives, and you know, they're doing as well as they can to try and make it seem normal, but also, you know, we do it in the back of our minds, have it lingering that we are in the middle of a not-so-normal world right now. So, shout out to everybody there. But 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Would love any of your thoughts from what went on yesterday as the Giants beat the Rockies 4-3. While the A's beat the Rangers 6-4, and with the Giants, really it wasn't that great of a game as far as hitting yesterday for the entire team. It was Brandon Belt who came through with the big swing, and with the A's, I've been kind of preaching this for the past couple of days, but the next games that we're going up to right now, I mean, they're 8-4 on the year, and they hadn't even played their best baseball up until that point, and you're kind of just waiting for these guys who seem to be in a slump, whether it be Marcus Semien or Matt Olson or even Matt Chapman before yesterday's game, and you're kind of just waiting for them to bust out of it. And Chris Davis, too. We can put Chris Davis in there. And turns out, when I mentioned yesterday that it was probably going to be Marcus Semien or Matt Olson who steps up, Matt Olson ends up stepping up with both of his home runs. But welcome into the show. Thank you so much for everything. And from the 209, gotta love that rage to start the morning. Love it, nice guy. Love it. Yes, Ken and Fremont. Speaking of Fremont, I'll bring this up and I'll get to the highlights from those games in just a second. But speaking of Fremont, just going to give a quick shout out for the Brewers there. And Mark Mathias, Fremont's own, getting his start yesterday in left field for the Brewers. He ended up going 1-for-3 with a single that started a rally to get the only run home for the Brewers in their 1-0 win over the White Sox. So Mark Mathias is the name that you want to pay attention to if you want to support Bay Area players. And it's pretty awesome seeing him on that field, having played Little League with him through a little bit of high school. So it was great seeing that yesterday. So I do want to start out with the Giants, though, and I want to start out with Logan Webb's performance. I feel like he's actually been a bright spot as far as these younger players. He had 5 innings pitched with 4 hits and giving up only 1 earned run on 4 Ks, and he seems to be locating the ball pretty well. And I think that the pitches that he's throwing right now, he's throwing with confidence. He's throwing at a good pace. His velocity is getting up there. He's throwing with movement. He's doing everything that the modern young pitcher should be doing on the mound. So he had a really good start yesterday. I did want to start out with him. And here is Gabe Kapler after the game talking about Logan Webb.
Yeah, a lot of poise, Gary. And then also he's pretty fiery and tenacious as well. Even though he pitched a really solid game in this ballpark against a really tough lineup, I still think he felt like he has more in the tank. And you know what? We feel like he has more in the tank. I think he's done a really good job of maintaining his stuff the movement on his changeup has been great. The fastball has had life, and now we just have to tighten up his command even a little bit more. And when he does that, he's really capable of going deep into games like some of the better pitchers in the league. And obviously tonight was big for him. He demonstrated the ability to go through that lineup twice, and in a lot of ways we felt confident to give him a little bit more rope.
So the Giants' bats weren't alive. Logan Webb was doing what he could, but it was Brandon Belt who came through with a 3-run home run.
Belt hits a high drive to right. Blackman bagger, Mick DeTapia, out of here! And the Giants take the lead.
They took the lead from there, and Tony Watson would go on to give up another home run to Nolan Arenado. And I'm not saying it's Tony Watson who keeps giving them up, but it's just the Giants, as he got three homers against them so far in this season. And Nolan Arenado, I feel like, to me, even though he is a superstar, I feel like he's one that still goes pretty underappreciated just because he's playing over there in Colorado. And but, I mean, he's been a Giants killer. He really has for a majority of his career. So Nolan Arenado making it interesting, getting it to 4-3. But overall, though, it was the Giants who came out on top. They looked pretty solid that game. It didn't look like there was much. There wasn't as much trouble as we've seen from these Giants wins in the past. Like, they haven't been all that pretty whenever the Giants do get a win on the score sheet. But yesterday, I thought they played a really just well-balanced game as far as playing well on defense. They did give up an error, but, you know, Tyler Heineman getting a throw out, Alex Dickerson making a nice play in right field, kind of redeeming himself for that error that he gave up in the a couple of games ago against the Rockies. So, you know, overall, their bats could have been a little bit better, but they came through when they needed to, and they got the win. Credit NBC Sports Bay Area for that highlight, by the way. But the A's, though, they also got the win over the Rangers, and not only was it Ramon Laureano, was it Austin Allen who hit the go-ahead, but it was Matt Olson who finally broke out of this slump that he was in.
2-2 pitch in the air to right field. Gallo going back, still going back, and that baby's gone. Olson's second home run of the year, and the A's have a 2-1 lead.
So Matt Olson got started off with that, but the big home run in this game came from Austin Allen.
High in the air to right center. Tipped pretty well, and that baby's gone, A's lead.
Here you go. Austin Allen says, "Hey, Dallas, you see how big I am? You want me to bunt? Why don't you button it up, pal? I'm going deep."
First career home run for Austin Allen, a high towering shot that gives the A's the 5-4 lead.
And just for a little insurance, Matt Olson continued again.
First pitch swinging, Matt Olson hits one very high, center field, and that baby is gone. A little insurance run to deep right center on the first pitch Farrell throws, and Olson has a 2-homer game.
Shama Nye didn't have that great of an outing, going 3.1 innings pitch with 6 hits and 4 earned runs with 5 Ks, but it was the 4 earned runs. And here's a crazy stat that came up. I just read this from, this is from Martin Gallegos, and this is about the A's bullpen. The A's bullpen has a 1.9 ERA in 52 innings this season, which is ridiculous. So the bullpen is getting it done. Shawn Manaea, not so much in the past couple of starts, but you know, this is all about breaking out of slumps. And the A's, you know, they're not necessarily known to get off to hot starts, so right now they seem to be getting into the, pun intended, swing of things. Hate doing that with baseball. But overall, they played a good game too. And the Rangers, they've proven that they aren't that great of a team this year. Some people call them a surprise team possibly in the AL West, but I don't know if that's going to come to fruition there. They do have a pretty powerful lineup, but overall, I just don't think that they're that great
of a team. However, the A's continue to look good going 8-4. I mean, around a baseball, you got other teams also. I mean, you got the Twins winning 8 straight. You got the Cubs winning 6 straight. So there are teams that are currently hot at the moment. So the one guy, though, with the A's that we're waiting for is Marcus Semien. And we're just waiting for him to kind of break out of whatever slump that he is in right now. And overall, I think we need to look out for him. Ramon Laureano has been really the star of the team, hitting .293 on the year and getting another home run yesterday to get the scoring going. So the hitting is getting back to where it should be, and it feels like that was the type of game that the A's would normally win, which is a 6-4 victory coming off of 4 home runs in the game total. But there were a couple of other things that happened yesterday, and I think that this is a pretty cool highlight. I don't know what would be the most exciting type of final play in baseball, but defensively, if you got a runner on third and there's one out in the game, and you got the chance to make it a double play, and the team is down by one, and you got the runner on third, and there's a fly ball hitting to left field, I don't know if there's a more exciting play in baseball than that. But I do want to bring this up because this is what's happening in the NL West right now. If you think the Giants are on a hot streak, the Dodgers and the Padres are pretty damn good themselves. I mean, the Rockies were just on a winning streak that the Giants broke. But the Dodgers, though, and the Padres, it was 7-6. In the bottom of the ninth over in L.A., and Chris Taylor was in left field, and Manny Machado was at the plate. There were runners on first and third, and Manny Machado hits one into the air, and Chris Taylor does the rest.
Kenley Jansen against Manny Machado. First pitch. Line to left field. Taylor is there, makes the catch. Here's the throw to the plate. It is there, and the game is over. Chris Taylor ends the night with an outfield assist from left, and the Dodgers take the series from the Padres.
And I know you're thinking, what are you doing playing a Dodgers highlight in the middle of the Bay Area? Look, regardless of whatever team you hate, whatever rival you just don't want to listen to, you got to admit that play yesterday, after seeing that game going back and forth with Fernando Tatis Jr. hitting just a moonshot and pimping it like it's nothing. I mean, I can't help but just appreciate the sort of play that happened with that sac fly trying to get the runner out at home, possibly to tie the game, but instead they do win 7-6, and that's sound courtesy of Sportsnet LA. All right, 888-957-9570 is the Chilton Auto Body text line and the phone number. Going to continue to play the sound because I kind of just went through a smorgasbord of everything in that first segment. But that's kind of a precursor to what's going on in the show today. You're going to hear a little bit from Farhan Zaidi, who was on the station yesterday with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. So you'll hear some of his thoughts on Joey Bart and a variety of other things. Plus Raheem Mostert. And yesterday, I talked a little bit about how the 49ers, or at least Kyle Shanahan, will deploy his running back core going into this year if McKinnon is healthy, because Jimmy Garoppolo talked about Jerick McKinnon, so, you know, bounce that sound and use that. But Raheem Mostert spoke yesterday, and if you think that this guy is going to settle for just being a kind of running back by committee sort of guy, listen to what he has to say. This is as confident as I've ever heard Raheem Mostert. So you're going to hear that coming up later on in the show. We got a ton to talk about. Stephen Langford did it on a pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
You know, sometimes when I play music coming back from break, I don't really tend to think about the implications of the song this early in the morning at 5:20. Oh, man. Good morning, everybody. Stephen Langford did on the pregame show. 95.7 The Game. up at 6 o'clock. Whitey Lowe and Dibs will be taking over. So a little later on in the show, you're going to hear from Farhan Zaidi. He talked about a variety of topics on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. So just want to play a little bit of sound for you from that. Yesterday was a great one in sports as both the A's and the Giants got the wins respectively over the Rockies and the Rangers. There are a couple other things that happened yesterday. And I mean, this John Gruden thing about, I don't know if it's true, but the report came out that essentially he had his coaches go on a Zoom call with the players and tell them that he tested positive for COVID-19 to see how they'd react. I don't know what kind of strategy that is. I don't know what he wanted their reaction to be. I don't know what would happen if they had the certain wrong reaction. And I'm not really going to get too deep into it. But just imagining Gruden go, hey, man, I got this idea. You're going to go on a Zoom call and tell these guys I tested positive, okay? It's like, what happened? Oh, man, can't believe that happened. And then also the two home runs from Mike Trout. Two games back after becoming a father, and he hits three home runs in two games back. If Mike Trout has turned into another type of baseball player after becoming a father, watch out. The dude's already one of the best that I've ever seen. And that's not recency bias. That is genuine. Genuinely a five-tool player who literally has every single... There's probably even more tools. I mean, that count than just the five, but he can literally do it all. So that happened yesterday. But one thing that I do want to talk about, though, is Raheem Mostert. He spoke to the media yesterday for the first time since everything was going on. And all we've kind of had to go off of when it came to Mostert and the 49ers contracts were the reports. And then John Lynch spoke about it, and Kyle Shanahan spoke about it as well. Raheem Mostert originally wanted them to restructure his deal because he just wanted to be paid like a top running back on the team if he was going to be taking a majority of the carries. And some of you on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 888-957-9570, that's also the phone number. But some of you on the Chilton Auto Body text line don't believe that the 49ers are just going to deploy a number one running back. But Raheem Mostert, he talked yesterday and listen to the confidence that he has in talking about his place on this team, especially among the running backs. Here's Raheem Mostert.
Back when I was talking about getting more bulky, I didn't mean as far as, like, you know, being 220 and having a whole lot of weight on me. It was more so, you know, being bulky as far as my muscle, having more muscle mass and, you know, having more endurance and all those type of things. So that way I'm able to get 20-something carries, you know, a game, which is, you know, not to say that it's not going to happen, but I got to prepare myself because I am the starting running back, and you know, my confidence level is just up to, you know, the guys that consider themselves to be top backs.
And Raheem Mostert continued, and his confidence, it seems to be sky high.
I just want to go out there and be dominant. You know, when I step out onto that field, I want everybody to say that's a bad mofo. You know, he's somebody that we can't take lightly. You know, I want to put fear in other teams' eyes, and you know, that's my mindset. You know, even when I'm playing gunner, I just want people to know I'm the best special teams player to ever play this game. And that's the mindset that I'm going to have at running back. I want them to know that I'm the best running back to ever play this game, even though, you know, it doesn't show as far as, like, my career wise.
Listening to that compared to, you know, how he was talking last year, a lot of it was incredibly humble, you know, what he was talking about. He, you know, he said he had the confidence in himself. But I think that right now after that game, I think after that Packers game especially, I think this dude's confidence is sky high. And when you have a guy who is running with confidence like that in a Kyle Shanahan offense, which can scheme him open with the outside zone, when you have Trent Williams on the left side taking up the pass rusher and not letting him set the edge and have a Raheem Mostert bounce to the outside. Whew. And Matt Breida mentioned yesterday, he said, I'm the fastest player in this league. If I can break, if anyone could break my 22 second, if anyone could break my 22 mile an hour record, which was last year on his 83 yard touchdown run, I mean, I really think Raheem Mostert is that fast and can do that because he was up there in speed as well. And it's crazy to think that him and Breida were on this team at the same time. But the mystery remained between Mostert and the 49ers and how they were negotiating things. And, you know, John Lynch, he spoke about it and kind of cleared some air, but we haven't heard much from Raheem Mostert on that front because, you know, they were the talk seemed hopeful and that they were going to get something done. But here's Raheem Mostert talking about negotiating his raise.
It was long and you know, difficulties, but in the end, we were able to sit down and have communication and, you know, it's a blessing to be here. It's one of those things where, you know, I knew that it was going to be right, regardless of how it played out, but I knew that at the end it was going to be all right. And I was still going to be a Niner no matter what. It's just, you know, moving pieces and trying to figure out what you got to do. Not only for contract wise, but as a business and then, you know, as family, it helps a lot when, you know, everybody's on the same page and, this is a family and we all understand that. As you can see, like what we've been through these past 3-4 years, with the organization, going, you know, 6-10, and then the following year, 4-12. So it just tells you, and then Super Bowl run last year just tells you that this is a family based organization. And, you know, they really pride themselves. We all really pride ourselves on being a family and, you know, what family doesn't have, you know, those problems. Like, I argue with my little brother, you know, it's one of those things where, hey, look, I argue with him, but I also love him at the same time. That's what's going on here. So we eventually got it fixed. And like I said, it's a blessing and I'm glad to be here.
What was interesting about that entire situation was it didn't feel like we could use Jamal Adams, for example, where it's like, hey, Jets, if you don't make me the highest paid safety in this league, I want to trade. And you could go down the list of players who have held out in the past, but it didn't feel like that sort of same situation because he wasn't asking for that much. He was just asking to get paid like the Tevin Coleman who was getting paid a 4.5. So he just didn't want to get paid that special teams money. And what was interesting about that and hearing that sound, it doesn't sound like there's any sort of animosity, which is why I'm very interested to see how everything works out with George Kittle, because I think he has that same mindset of this 49er team is the family and you know, it is a business after all. And if he wants too much, then fine. But I really don't know how much the money would be a factor in George Kittle if he wants to get paid like not even like a tight end, kind of like a wide receiver. If he wants to get paid like that, I mean, if the 49ers give him the kind of final offer, I wouldn't be surprised if he just wants to stay because he likes the 49ers so much. And I felt like it was the same sort of thing with the Raheem Mostert. He had success with the 49ers after bouncing around to a bunch of different teams. I don't think he wanted to be in that situation. I think Raheem Mostert was just put in that situation because that's how the agent negotiated his contract after already getting a raise last season. So in the end, I don't know if it was Raheem Mostert's problem to fix. I don't know if it was John Lynch's or Kyle Shanahan's problems to fix. Overall, I think it was just the agent realizing that he made a mistake and not knowing that his client could be one of the top running backs in football if you give him a chance. So after hearing that sound, I really do think that he is going to be the starting running back and he's going to take a bulk of the carries for this team. And you have Tevin Coleman, who's a capable number two running back, while Jerick McKinnon can catch passes out of the backfield. And after you heard Jimmy Garoppolo talk about it yesterday, you can think more and more that that is going to be his role, because Garoppolo said essentially Jerick McKinnon thinks like he's a quarterback out there and has that same mindset, and he's a veteran. So how they're going to deploy the running back core, very interested to pay attention to. But Travis Benjamin, veteran wide receiver who was added to this team, he ended up opting out of the 2020 season, and Raheem Mostert commented on himself and why he didn't opt out of this season. Here's Raheem Mostert talking about that.
It was a long, very long and tough discussion with my wife. Right now, our current situation, she's back in Cleveland with the family, with my 13-month-old son, as well as we're expecting our second child. So in at the end of September. So the discussions we've had, man, it's been long and extensive. But, you know, she understands the importance of me being out here and, you know, being able to provide for the family and all those good things. And so we've had more positive talks than negative. And we've been able to communicate on a day-to-day basis, you know, just to understand each other's feelings and to make sure, you know, she's at ease, especially during a time like this with the uncertainty of COVID, as well as, you know, having the birth of our second boy. So, you know, it's been a blessing that we've both been on the same page. You know, we've both had nights where we've cried on each other and, you know, just talked about, especially before I left, you know, just talking about how we're going to manage this whole deal. And, I told her flat out, hey, look, I don't want you guys to even come to Cali because, you know, I don't want you to be infected. I don't want my 1-year-old to be infected as well, you know, as the new addition to our family. So we were able to work it out and I'm here. So she understands. And like I said, it's truly a blessing.
And Raheem Mostert isn't the only player who's gone through something like that. And I think that that's a good reminder, a solid reminder that what these players, they really are risking a lot of things so they can play a sport, not only just for themselves, but for our entertainment, for the world, so that we don't feel like we are in the middle of some not so normal time. And you know, those are the types of conversations that are probably incredibly tough, and I couldn't even imagine being in that situation. All right, coming up next, you're going to hear from Farhan Zaidi. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky. I want to play a couple of clips for you. Do you think Joey Bart needs to be called up? I want to know from you, 888-957-9570 on the Chilton Autobody text line, as well as the phone number. Do you need to call him up now, or you know what? Don't. Just you can wait. You could be patient with them. Bring them in. Maybe, you know, they're putting down the rosters from 30 to 28 today, actually, and they're increasing their taxi squad from 3 to 5 players. Do you think Joey Bart will eventually get called up to the Giants? 888-957-9570 on the Chilton Autobody text line. Farhan Zaidi coming up next. Plus, more of your texts. Maybe more of a John Gruden impression. I don't know. Some of you are putting in requests. I'm not a DJ. I'm just a radio host. And also, it's incredibly hard to keep a John Gruden impression going for a straight hour. I'd lose it. I'd lose it after 2 minutes, guaranteed. But it's all coming up. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
At LL Flooring, the sales tax is on us. Save on a beautiful new floor, and we'll cover the sales tax on top of our already low prices. Choose from our wide selection of quality wood and waterproof floors. Plus, we'll cover the sales tax on everything in our stores August 5th through August 11th. Lumber Liquidators is now LL Flooring. Visit llflooring.com for details. Valid only in California and only at LL Flooring.
O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need for your summer car maintenance at great prices. Our professional parts people can help you find the best oil change supplies for your car, like 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional motor oil and MicroGuard filter, everyday low price $26.99. For your summer oil change, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Progressive presents The Sounds of the Old World.
The year is 2019, and someone is waiting for the previews to start in a movie theater.
Hey, you want anything? Popcorn? Soda? No, nothing?
This has been The Sounds of the Old World.
Brought to you by Progressive, where drivers can still switch and save like it's 2019.
Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill to see the full selection of Gaggenau appliances. If the kitchen is the heart of the home, then Gaggenau is the soul of the kitchen. The modern built-in appliances are made to work together. Stainless steel fridges integrating perfectly with large wine coolers, ovens aligned with built-in coffee machines. And at Friedman's Appliance, you can see all of the Gaggenau appliances displayed beautifully in live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill or at friedmansappliance.com.
Hiring can be challenging, but ZipRecruiter makes it fast and easy. We talked to COO Dylan Miskowitz, who needed to hire a director of coffee for his company, Cafe Altura.
We would look through lots of applications for people who were not qualified. It definitely felt like we were looking for a needle in a haystack.
So Dylan started using ZipRecruiter and found his perfect candidate in a few days. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free.
We're very impressed with how quickly we had quality candidates apply through ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is a powerful tool in our hiring process.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire. ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese.
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed...
6-8-9-10-4.
...could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
What are all the things you witness online in a day? Cats playing piano, selfies on your feed, your friend's picture being turned into a nasty meme that's been shared 50 times? 51. 52. When someone's being bullied online, it's hard to know what to do. Now you can speak up with the witness emoji. It looks like an eye in a speech bubble, and it's in the symbol section near the clocks in your phone. You'll let the world know it isn't cool, and you'll let your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
This is how we chill from 93 till good morning, everybody. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. Thank you so much for joining me. It is 5:38 in the morning, so it's pretty tough to be up at this time. And I'm going to continue to preach it. But if you are up right now, I'll assume that you are on the way to work, you are currently working, or you're on the way home from work. Either way, or who knows? Who knows what you could be doing? But either way, if you are up at this hour and you're working at some capacity, I mean, thank you. Because it's not easy being up at this hour. And if you are up at this hour, I'm sure whatever you're doing, it has to be important. So thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully can make your day a little bit better. Before I get to the sound from Farhan, and he talked about a variety of topics, I there was an article that I read the other day. And this was from The Ringer, and it was talking about the summer blockbuster movies from 2008, more so the comedies. And just if you are a fan of those R-rated comedy movies, which is a kind of genre that seems to have died down in the past, really since I guess This Is the End was the real, really like the last one. But if you just go and look down the list of these movies from 2008, whether it's Tropic Thunder or Forgetting Sarah Marshall, Superbad came out a little bit before that, Pineapple Express, Knocked Up, all of those ones, it is ridiculous. The summer of 2008, if you look down at the list of movies, especially the R-rated comedies that were so great toward the end of that decade. So I highly recommend you do that. One thing I also recommend is that you pay attention to the Milwaukee Brewers. And we have a Bay Area product, Fremont's own Mark Mathias, who made his starting debut yesterday in left field for the Brewers against the White Sox. And in his first at bat, he did this.
Exciting to get himself to the big leagues. And how about it? A base hit for Mathias in his first big league at bat. And you can hear the Brewers dugout cheering for him.
Yeah, good for him.
Save that ball. Mark Mathias has a hit in the major leagues against a former Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, right. You're talking about one of the best in the business, and Mathias able to get the base hit. Doing a good job. He waits back.
You want to support a guy from the Bay Area. You want to support someone who, if you've ever been involved within the MVAL or, I mean, District 14, he played there for a few years, but he was way too good and had to be moved up and played a little bit of tournament ball. But he's worked so hard to get to where he's at today, and couldn't be happier for the guy. So Mark Mathias, pay attention to that name if you happen to come across the Brewers and put them on your television. All right, Farhan Zaidi. He was on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday, and there's a lot that he talked about, whether it's Gabe Kapler, Buster Posey opting out, calling up Joey Bart. There's a bunch that we can go over here, but he just talked about the rebuild and how he's kind of feeling about it. Here is Farhan Zaidi on with Damon Ratto and Kolsky yesterday.
I guess I think about it in terms of the waves of players that we have coming through the farm system. Obviously, Bart, who you were kind enough to ask about very early on this call.
we'll double back on him. Don't worry about that.
He's really close. Ramos is really close. We've gotten to see him somewhere. We're excited about him. And then we've got a wave of players that's, you know, a little behind those guys that, may not hit the big leagues next year that might be looking at 2022 on them. I mean, those timelines can move around, but, we have a wave of talent that we think is probably a year and a half away, including some of the guys that we drafted and acquired over the last year. So in our position in this market with the expectations of the fans, and appropriately so, given the history of this organization, you know, we're going to go out and try to put it together a competitive team every year. Kevin Gausman, Drew Smyly, some of the pitchers that we acquired, you know, bringing Hunter Pence back, and he's got a very specific role on the team and has been a great leader. You know, as we kind of wait for those waves of talent to arrive, we're going to continue to try to supplement the major league roster and put a competitive product out there. So look, anytime that you're dealing with an organization like San Francisco Giants that has the history it has, that has the expectations from the fans that it has, you know, nobody's going to use that, the R word. It's about, you know, trying to get some long-term talent into the picture, but continuing to compete in the interim.
So that is Farhan, and talking, he doesn't want to use the term rebuild because, I mean, who would want to? If you're the president of baseball operations, why would you want to even use that term? But here's the thing with Farhan for me, and I am just I'm a proponent of the analytics, not necessarily within a game, because I do think there's a balance you have to find, that line you have to draw between using, you know, the analytics during a game to try and help you win. But analytics goes way deeper than that. And it goes not only just from what's on the field, but they use that data and take it off the field and really bring it down to a science to try and develop these guys into good ball players. It's more than just an eye test now. You're no longer looking at these players and just thinking, okay, that guy looks like he could be good. That guy looks like he could be good. That guy, no, not really. He's not going to be making the team. The things that's changed is the one guy that you're saying he's not going to make the team just based on the eye test. That's the type of dude that if you can find a way to develop and train him with all these different types of coaches that you have within the minor league system, then you could turn him into pretty serviceable ball players. And I think Farhan has kind of put the Giants in that direction and steered them toward that direction. And if you look at any of the other good teams across Major League Baseball, whether it be the Dodgers or the Red Sox when they were winning World Series, teams like that, they use that sort of strategy. And I think that Farhan has brought that to the Giants. And we're just, it's only been a year. we're way too quick to judge this team based on a year alone. If you're going to judge the job he's done, wait for maybe 2, maybe 3 years. And it's a tough job that he came in here for. It really is. And the contracts weren't necessarily that great. Speaking of those contracts, though, he did trade away Mark Melancon last year and somehow got rid of that contract over to the Atlanta Braves. And he talked about how the pandemic affects the trade deadline this year when the trade deadline is 4 weeks away. Here is Farhan with Damon Rado and Kolsky yesterday talking about that.
Not being in the office is obviously different. It's something that everybody's dealing with. It's a lot of Zoom calls and a lot of texting. And so, you know, you don't get to have those organic discussions with your staff about player evaluations, trade ideas, what players seem to be coming on in other organizations. So it's a little bit harder to bring everybody together and have a collective picture there. It is interesting on the front of having conversations with other front offices. I know, you know, as we were going through training camp, people were making phone calls almost apologetically, like, hey, I don't know when we're allowed to start talking about our needs and surpluses and potential deals that may happen. And obviously everybody's really sensitive to the environment that we're in, not just in baseball and in sports, but in the world as a whole. But those conversations have kind of accelerated over the last week or two. There's been, you know, more connecting with other front offices. There's been, you know, more transactions happening. And I think this is kind of building towards a pretty traditional trade deadline in a few weeks, which I wouldn't have said a couple of weeks ago. But obviously a lot of that's going to have to depend on, you know, the industry as a whole continuing the positive momentum for the last few days after, you know, a couple of teams, you know, had pretty bad outbreaks. But things are looking better, and hopefully that helps us get through the season successfully.
I don't know how attached to these Giants players that are on this roster right now we should be getting. Like, I'd love to be. But also, I think we need to look at it in the sense that, look, they're 6-7 on the year. Even that has played above expectations so far. They do have a really tough schedule coming up, so it remains to be seen with that record. But I don't know how attached we should become to these players, because to me, there isn't really a player on this team who is necessarily a mainstay. It's been great seeing all these guys flourish when, like, guys like Donovan Solano and Alex Dickerson and Mike Yastrzemski being another one of those guys. Mike Yastrzemski might be one of the mainstays on this team, but overall, I think that Farhan has picked these guys up, said that there's something that they could work with there, and they've worked with it, and it's turned out to be pretty successful. And what you can get in return for him, I think that remains to be seen. But I don't know how. I do think Farhan's going to be pretty active at the trade deadline coming up in 4 weeks' time, even though it's on pretty short notice and everything is ever changing when it comes to baseball. And I mean, really, I just hope by that time, by the time the trade deadline comes around, we're still playing some baseball. Because really, in the end, it is up to the players and whether they want to actually follow and adhere to the rules that are put in place, which is simply don't go anywhere. We need you to stay put so that we can have this season, which is what the issue was with those other teams that ended up getting having the quote unquote outbreaks. Farhan continued, though, and he talked about Gabe Kapler. Now, Gabe Kapler, I feel like, has been the one guy that Farhan Zaidi has received the most criticism for. A lot of people didn't really understand the hire. They weren't sure what Farhan was trying to do. But when he was asked about Gabe Kapler, listen to what Farhan had to say.
He has a challenging job right now because, as we've alluded to a little bit, this is a lineup, a roster, a pitching staff that sort of needs to be managed pretty actively. And we don't have five workhorses in the rotation who are going to throw seven innings where, you know, you just hand the ball to your setup man and your closer. He's obviously having to mix and match a lot on the pitching side, on the position player side. We're trying to use the entire roster. We're platooning some. That means pinch hitting some. And when you're a manager and you have to make that many moves, as many moves as our roster kind of behooves right now, every time you make a move, you bring a pinch hitter off the bench. The best pinch hitter in the world is a 350 hitter and is going to make an out more often than he's going to get a hit. So, you're making a lot of 55, 45, 60, 40 bets that get scrutinized. And if they don't work out, it's the onus kind of falls on you. So he's got to make a lot of acts of commission right now in managing our team. And as a result, I think he gets, kind of the burden of those acts of commission in terms of the scrutiny that they create. But again, I look at some of our best wins this season, and they've come from a lot of the decisions that he's made.
6-7 on the year. And that's really what I go back to whenever the criticism of Gabe Kapler comes along. After those first two games against the Dodgers, I don't think anyone expected them to be 6-7 going into this part. I know they'd probably want to be a little bit better than that. They'd want to be over 500. Which team wouldn't? But the criticism that Gabe Kapler's received, whether it's for his pitching changes or his lineups, wondering why you're batting Hunter Pence fourth, those certain kind of things. In the end, they are winning games, and their pitching has been pretty decent. Their offense has, I think, been better than most expected, and he has had to make a lot of changes, but sometimes it's just up to the reliever, right? It's just up to the player. And there was, a lot of criticism over Kapler on that Thursday night game against the Padres when they were already down by four, and he just happens to make that one quote unquote gaffe. Everyone's using the term gaffe. I've never heard that word used so much in my life. It's like normalcy from 4 months ago. It's just all of a sudden we're using that term. But he made a mistake. He made a genuine human error. And in the end, we didn't even focus on the fact that, maybe he left Tyler Rogers in for too long, but after all, he did give up three earned runs there. So, there's blame to go around, and he really is just taking the brunt of it. Farhan continued, and you're going to be able to hear this entire interview on with Whitey, Lowe, and Dibs coming up at 7:30 later today. So the entire thing will be played for you. I'm only playing a few snippets here. But Farhan talked about Joey Bart and whether they should call him up or not. That's been one of the bigger discussions about this season as well. Here is Farhan talking about Bart.
We went into spring training this year thinking this is a guy who we're very high on as an organization, but who has had less than 100 at-bats above A ball. Not his own fault. A lot of it was a couple of unfortunate injuries he had last year. But we felt very strongly that he's a guy who needed more minor league reps. I mean, the ability to handle major league pitching on a day-in, day-out basis is a huge challenge. And a lot of guys get rushed and struggled, and they never get over that hump. So for somebody like him, who's so important to the future of this organization, we want to make sure that we push the button at the right time. And for us collectively, less than 100 at-bats above A-ball, I mean, there are very few cases of guys that make that jump and just come up to the big leagues and hit the ground running.
Doesn't that sound like good reasoning? Because the only reason I'm hearing to call this guy up is they need to get their star. They need to get him going. It's a truncated season. It's not even real this year. And Farhan makes a very excellent point with the amount of at-bats that he's had. And look at his stats from then. They weren't that great, even though he's had less than 100 at-bats above A-ball. So if you want to rush this guy back and you want to see Joey Bart in a Giants uniform because that's who you've been excited to watch, fine. But this year, if you have him called up and you rush him back, you don't have the added luxury of having Buster Posey in that dugout, which is what has made Buster Posey so valuable. It's not what he does in the batter's box. It's obvious that Buster Posey lost some power, and it's obvious that he lost some speed on the swing. But it's what he does as a catcher, what he does as a teacher. That's where his value is. And with Buster Posey not there, Joey Bart, I'm sure they could have phone calls, they could have Zoom meetings, they could do all of that, but it's just not the same as having them there when they're in a game and he could really explain that moment, and they're both in tune with each other. And for the 707, it's because Gabe Gaffler has a ring to it. That's very true. That is true. I do like that. I've just never heard that term. I haven't heard that term all that much. I'm going to kind of get off of this right now. I'll get off the Farhan sound because that's the last soundbite I wanted to play. But Joey Bart, though, like I'm as excited to see him as anybody. But just rushing him into this season when they're 6-7 on the year. And, you know, you got Chadwick Tromp, who's a good catcher. You got Tyler Heineman as well, who clearly needs to get more in-game reps. I don't know if calling up Joey Bart is necessarily the right move to do right now. Maybe a little later on, but right now it just seems like you'd be rushing into things. But, of course, what say you? 888-957-9570 on the Chilton Auto Body text line, as well as the phone number. But last night, we did get a couple of big home runs, whether it's with the Giants or with the A's. We'll start off with the Giants. Brandon Belt with a nice little three-run jack.
Belt, it's a high drive to right. Blackman bagger, Mick DeTapia, out of here. And the Giants take the lead.
And that ended up being the big home run there, making it 4-2 on the game. Then Nolan Arenado would go on to hit a solo home run, another solo home run against the Giants. But this time it was when they were down in the solo home run in those situations. I think that's part of the reason why people don't like the three true outcomes of baseball, home run, strikeout, hit, or a home run, strikeout, walk. Because in that situation, when you're down by two, sure, we'll take a solo home run, but in the end, the next batter's got to come up with nobody on base. And, I mean, you know, you could argue that it's great to see Arenado getting that home run and kind of breaking out of that because his first three home runs of the season came against the Giants. But in that situation, you could have probably used a runner on base there and gotten something going, but instead you couldn't get anything going after that. And Gabe Kapler did a very good job of handling the bullpen from there. And Tyler Rogers and Trevor Gott appears to be pretty good. He has an interesting windup. He kind of steps across the mound as if he's stepping towards the, if you're a right-handed batter, he's kind of stepping toward the batter and throwing across his body. And it's just really hard to even time a pitch or try and see what he's throwing and what kind of grip he's using when he is in the windup. The sound courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area, by the way. But this sound is courtesy of NBC Sports California as the team on the other side of the bay. It's all about breaking out of the slumps and getting off of this slow start that you're on offensively, even though they're playing some of their they're not even playing their best baseball and they're already 8-4. But one guy named Matt Olson broke out of that.
2-2 pitch in the air to right field. Gallo going back, still going back, and that baby's gone. Olson's second home run of the year, and the A's have a 2-1 lead. First pitch swinging, Matt Olson hits one very high, center field, and that baby is gone. A little insurance run to deep right center on the first pitch Farrell throws, and Olson has a two-homer game.
Now, Austin Allen was the one who hit the go-ahead home run in that game, sound courtesy of NBC Sports Bay Area, but it's seeing Matt Olson hit those two home runs, kind of breaking out of that slump since he hadn't had a home run since that opening game grand slam walk-off. So hopefully they continue with where they're at going forward. Tonight you got the Giants and the Rockies. It looks like Kyle Freeland is going to be pitching for the Rockies, and it says Tyler Anderson on the bump, but you never really know with the Giants going forward. And the A's, by the looks of it, they're playing the Rangers, and you got Mike Fiers against Mike Minor. Interesting. How about that? A couple of Mikes going at it. So that's what's coming up tonight. But I do just want to play this sound from Gabe Kapler talking about Brandon Belt and what he's been doing so far. Because Brandon Belt, you know, besides hitting into that double play to kind of kill the momentum going into that game against the Rockies 2 days ago, he's actually had some pretty good at-bats so far. And he managed to get a hold of one yesterday and sky it to right field. Here's Gabe Kapler.
Yeah, no, to your point, he's had some success against him, and I think he's done some good work over the years in Colorado and against the Rockies. So I think what I'd lean most on is Brandon's continued consistent routine and his continued plate discipline and his ability to get on base. And today, he squared the ball up in the air. In this ballpark, that's the best thing that you can possibly do is if you're making an out, you're making it hard in the air. And when you're making your best contact, like Pablo did and Brandon did, those balls are on the line or with a higher trajectory than that.
So here's the situation. Brandon Belt, look, can't call him down, can't put him down. This is where we're at, and you just got to hope he has a game like that going forward. All right, coming up, we got Whitey, Lowe, and Dibs. You're going to hear from Farhan Zaidi at 7:30, as well as George Kontos at 8:30. Thanks for joining me, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow at 5 a.m. on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.